presented by the U.S. Travel Association.
Hey, good morning. I'm Playbook co-author Rachel Bade. It's Monday, June 17th, and here's what's driving the day. For those of you wondering how hard President Joe Biden will go after Donald Trump for his new convicted felon status, you have a pretty damn good answer this morning. At 5 a.m., the campaign announced a $50 million campaign ad that will run in swing states and remind voters of Trump's legal woes. The bit is entitled Character Matters and notes that Trump has been convicted on 34 felony counts, well, that's so far, and was found liable for sexual assault and financial fraud. It's all part of the contrast that the Biden campaign is trying to draw right now, emphasizing that while the president is fighting for Americans, Trump is fighting to stay out of jail. Speaking of Trump convictions, our colleague Ankush Kadori has a new piece up this morning that shows how the verdict should indeed worry the Trump campaign. To figure out how this sort of unprecedented moment is being processed by the electorate, Politico magazine partnered with Ipsos in a new survey. They found that 21% of independents said the conviction makes them less likely to support Trump and that it would be an important factor in their votes. Obviously, this is going to be a close election, so small numbers matter. As for the big playbook top this morning, we are less than a month out from the Republican National Convention when Donald Trump says he'll finally choose a running mate. As he whittles down his shortlist, the former president will have to carefully examine which traits are most important to him in a number two. Is it loyalty? Is it connections with deep-pocketed donors or maybe a swing voter appeal? Here to talk to me about the pros and cons of each possible running mate is national political correspondent Meredith McGraw. Good morning, Meredith.
Good morning, Rachel.
Thanks for joining. Let's start with J.D. Vance. When I think about the people who want the job the most, he's probably the first one that pops into mind, the fighter here. What are the benefits to Trump in choosing someone like him? But also maybe what are the drawbacks?
Senator Vance has made a name for himself for being one of the biggest defenders of Donald Trump and the MAGA movement in the Senate. And he has really shown himself to be adept on TV. Trump thinks that he looks the part, and he has the sort of credentials that Trump loves, like a Yale Law School degree and connections in the world of venture capital. He played a role in organizing that big Silicon Valley fundraiser out in San Francisco recently. And he was also a Marine, and he has a really inspiring personal story that, of course, was the subject of his best-selling memoir, Hillbilly Elegy.
Yeah. But it's interesting because in some ways, his strengths, at least in my view, are kind of his weakness. Like, why tap a MAGA celebrity when you got the man himself drawing those voters already? I guess I wonder if, you know, Trump would be better off picking someone with appeal to independents, right? Like, what does he bring in that vein?
Totally. I mean, I think that is one of the many criterias that the former president is thinking about when he's, considering who might be his vice president. He has said publicly that he wants somebody that he could step in if, heaven forbid, something happened and could lead right off the bat. But of course, he also wants somebody that's loyal. He doesn't want another Mike Pence. And, you know, he wants somebody that is going to carry on his MAGA vision, perhaps even after a potential White House win. You know, I think, like you said, you know, with J.D. Vance, all of those reasons could be potential pitfalls for him. He doesn't bring in the suburban moderate moms that Trump needs to win over.
Speaking of suburban moms, let's talk Elise Stefanik.
Elise Stefanik has been loyal to Trump since day one. She calls herself Proud MAGA. She was the first member of Congress to endorse Trump before he even officially got in the race. And, you know, her political stock has really skyrocketed after she questioned those university presidents about anti-Semitism on college campuses. And, you know, she has widely been seen as an up-and-coming star. She's a young mom, so she could potentially make inroads with those suburban mothers, independents, people like that. You know, but at the same time, I think her potential pitfalls could be, you know, she was once a Paul Ryan acolyte, and people have raised questions about her changing ideology and raised questions about her motivations there. And then, you know, some people have brought up her age. She's only 39. She's really young. Mm-hmm. And whether or not this would be the right moment for her.
Let's go to the nice guy, Tim Scott. Obviously really well-liked amongst Senate Republicans. I kind of think of him as like this unifier almost. You know, you've got this, the Mitch McConnell wing of the party in the Senate, and then you've got Trump sort of dominating everything else. Tim Scott is someone who's sort of respected by both. And he's obviously a very high-ranking Black Republican. So what are you thinking on Scott and his appeal?
Well, I think like you said, you know, he's well respected. He is African American, and you know, he also has an inspiring life story that was a big part of, you know, his story on the campaign trail in 2024. And he has become a really good surrogate for the Trump campaign. He is often at these high dollar fundraisers, going on TV for Trump and for the Trump campaign. But at the same time, when he has done interviews on TV, I've seen criticism, you know, about whether or not he has the sort of star power that Trump likes. But then again, you know, maybe Trump wants somebody who's not going to outshine him.
Yeah, you guys mentioned in your story that he does never seem quite at ease in the spotlight. That's definitely true, both on the campaign, or I should say specifically on the debate stage, but also in some of these hardball interviews, which he doesn't do many of them. So is he really tested for taking on Kamala Harris, you know, on national TV? It's a big question. The one that everybody seems to be talking about the most, it feels like people, of course, we don't know who he's going to choose, but the speculation on the block seems to be that Doug Burgum is the most likely pick. Let's talk about him for a little bit.
Well, Doug Burgum sort of came into the picture out of the blue. You know, he is a self-made millionaire businessman. When I've talked to donors, they've really liked interactions with him because, you know, he's sort of one of them. He's very business oriented, business minded. And, you know, he kind of puts them at ease. But at the same time, I think Burgum might be somebody to watch to be a potential energy secretary or, you know, some other sort of cabinet level position. But at the same time, you know, he has some of the sort of superficial qualities that we know Trump likes, you know, having the quote unquote look, you know, and his wife has a really inspiring story of overcoming addiction too, which I know is part of his personal story too.
Meredith, thanks for coming on. This is great.
Thanks, Rachel.
And for the rest of your schedule today, the House is out. The Senate will meet at 3 to take up Catherine Oler's judicial nomination with a cloture vote at 5:30. Speaker Mike Johnson and NRCC Chair Richard Hudson are down at Mar-a-Lago today where they're going to be meeting with Trump. And this afternoon, President Biden will host a bilateral meeting with the Secretary General of NATO. I'm Rachel Bade. Thanks for listening.
Presented by the U.S. Travel Association. Air travel innovations make getting there this summer more safe, secure, and seamless.